Good to be together today. So I'm really looking forward to the rest of the time we have together. We got 30 minutes together, and I want us to be open to Jesus being present with us. I will first want to start us off. Imagine you and I were teleported, just the two of us, some other country across an ocean. And we're in this park, and nobody speaks the same. Nobody speaks English. Nobody speaks our languages or language. And we're watching people. And if I lean over to you, and we've got this image here, if I lean over to you, and there's a dog in the park, this next picture, and I say, "Can you figure out who this dog belongs to?" Now, yeah. So John says to me, "Okay, right?" Because we're like, "Oh, we like it, right?" But there's certain dogs that are pretty wild and you might have a hard time with, but there's some dogs where it's real obvious who their owner is, right? It's really obvious, like this dog, I might not understand any of the words coming out of that person's mouth, but I can look at the dog and see that that dog is listening to that person. And like this little dogs, some animals are like this too, but there's a lot of dogs out there that are like this, that will like super focus in on the person that they know as like their person. And they like give them their eyes and kind of their whole body. It might be a dog that like is always in motion, except for when that person's talking. And then it's like, whew. And then they listen. And if it's a really obedient dog, they'll listen and then do whatever they're told to do, right? And if you see a dog like that, no matter, even if you didn't understand, if they're speaking Japanese or whatever, you can tell pretty quickly, like, that's that person's dog, right? And if someone else came in and said, like, "No, it's my dog," you'd be like, "Well, like, it doesn't look like it." Like, even if they had paperwork or whatever else, right? It's like, obviously, the way this dog's acting, like, it belongs to that person. So, in John 10, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, but in John 10, Jesus uses a word a lot that he doesn't use very much in the rest of John. He says, "Listen," over and over in John 10. And he describes what does it mean to be a Christian in John 10, 27. He describes us as his sheep, and he says, "My sheep listen to me." And then Jesus says, "I know them, and they follow me." Like, there's really like a two-step deal for how do you know if you're a Christian or not, right? It's, do you listen to Jesus, and do you follow him? Like, it's really just that on repeat over and over. Like, that'll take us the whole way home. Like, if you just do that, like, Jesus will take care of the rest. And Jesus hasn't said the word listen all through John from chapter 10 until we get to today's reading. And we're going to read a big chunk of scripture, but I'm going to give us a kind of preview verse before we get into the whole chunk. So this is our verse. Jesus is talking to Pilate. He's talking to the Roman authority, the guy with all the power, the guy that can put him onto a cross until he bleeds slash suffocates to death. Like, this is the guy he's talking to. And the big push criminally against Jesus is this claim to be king. And so Pilate says, "You are a king then." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." And here's the thing I want us to focus on before we read the passage today. Jesus says, everyone on the side of truth, what do they do? Listens to me. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. I know a lot of people who, not just at Maywood, but all around anywhere I've ever been, who are very religious. They go to church a lot. They do a lot for religious reasons. And yet they struggle to have very many minutes of any year spent listening to Jesus, right? There's a whole lot of activity and a whole lot of worrying and not a lot of listening. And I can't just put that on everyone else. Like, when I look on my own life, I think how many minutes do I spend worrying? And how many minutes do I spend listening to Jesus? Like, the listening to Jesus is always way less, right? But today, as I was reflecting on this passage in John 18 and 19 that we're going to be on, and thought, what's the thing for us today? I was struck with how heroic and spectacular Jesus is, but I thought, if we're not ready to listen to him, then we're not ready. Like, that's really step number one. Even if you came in the room today and you're like, I'm not really that sure about Jesus. Or if you've known Jesus for 80 years, we're all on the same step in this moment. Of like, our step in this moment is to listen to Jesus. So we're going to read a long passage. Normal preaching in the time that we have today, we wouldn't hit this many verses. I'm not going to be able to like give you a story and a cool insight and like unpack it all for you. What we're going to be trusting today as we read it is that Jesus is real and he's going to say something to you. So we're going to read a big chunk and we're going to have a chance to respond to it. There's going to be a couple different ways to respond. But when we're reading this chunk, don't be waiting for me to tell you what to remember. Like, be doing what? What do we do with our ears? Listen. Listening to Jesus. So if you have a Bible, please turn to John chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 28, and we're going to read a lot of verses. We're going to read the whole trial of Jesus in front of Pilate. This normally gets split into at least two, if not multiple parts. And there's reasons to split it. There's a lot that gets talked about here. But today we're going to look at the whole scene. Jesus comes as our Lord, and he comes as our Savior. He's coming claiming the right to tell us what to do, and he's coming saying that I can save you out of your trouble, right? But here we're going to see Jesus' heroic going to the cross, not shying away, but choosing to go into that path, right? So as we read, I'm going to try to give you a few little indicators help you keep up to speed, but the basics are the Jewish people in Israel, the leaders, religious leaders, are really grumpy at Jesus. They've arrested him. They're really mad because Jesus has claimed to be God, and that's offended them. But to get him executed, they want to get the Romans after him because Jesus is claiming to be king, to be Lord of everybody, and that's going to tick off the Romans. So last week, we were looking at that claim about Jesus being God. But here, he's going to be in hot water. And probably all he'd have to say is some sort of mystery statement that makes it sound like he's real humble. And he could probably get out of trouble in this moment. Like, but instead, he starts talking on this king idea. Okay, so John chapter 18, verse 28. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Jesus, we don't have all the answers, but we came in this room as an act of hope. Every single one of us, if we're watching online or we're here physically, it's an act of hope that we've taken, that you're real and that you'll speak to us. We are listening, Jesus. Please speak to us so we can follow you. Amen. John 18, starting in verse 28. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. The people that are murdering the Son of God are worried about the religious festival later. They want to make sure they can fully participate in it. So that's what that verse is about. Verse 29, so Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" Pilate's the Roman governor. He's the one kind of in charge of this region. Verse 30, if he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. And you're like, wait, what's going on here? It's kind of political speak. Sometimes that can be confusing, but everybody's trying to manipulate each other in this moment. The Jewish leaders are trying to get Pilate to do something. Pilate's trying to push it back on them. That's what happened right there. Nobody wants to take everybody's trying to manipulate. But here's their real intention comes out at the end of 31. But we have no right to execute anyone, they objected. So they're not just out to hurt Jesus, like they're out to kill Jesus. That's what they're saying here. Verse 32, this took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. There's this verse in the Old Testament about anybody who's hung on a tree or on wood is cursed. Like there's this idea that Jesus coming to earth and is going to die the worst sort of death. This is some sort of torture that like the Romans would be like, if no matter what you do as a Roman citizen, we will never put you on a cross. Like it's beneath us. You could do any crime in Rome and they wouldn't put you on a cross. It's only like the people they think are beneath them that they would even do that sort of torture to, right? The Jewish people wouldn't have put him on a cross if they were just doing it themselves. Jesus has walked this narrow path in obedience to God the Father to get this like horrific death and suffering, right? 33, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" I've never been a governor or a judge. A lot of people in this room have stood before judges. I don't know that any of us have been in that role of like actually judging somebody. But my guess is if you sit in judgment on people a lot, you hear a lot of excuses. You hear a lot of like, "Oh, not me. I'm really not good for it," right? You know, like, "I didn't do it. Let me off. It's really not my fault." It's probably what Pilate's expecting, right? Verse 34, "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" He gives an open door for excuses or explaining away. Verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Verse 37, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." You might be like, why is Jesus bringing up all this truth stuff? The interesting thing about Jesus, unlike the rest of us, is like he really knows the people he's talking to. And he knows their hangups and their issues. And I would say, as I read this closely, I think Jesus is planting a seed for Pilate to think about when all this is done. Like, who was that guy? Because Pilate gives a strange response that shows like he's got a philosophy that maybe there is no absolute truth. In verse 3, he says, "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. Like he struck a chord there, right? Something deep in Pilate that he's gotten real negative about any sort of absolute truth. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." So Pilate, who doesn't really stand on things or sure, like absolute truth, he's trying to manipulate his way into not hurting anybody. Even though he doesn't really believe in absolute truth, he doesn't really want to do something against Jesus. So he's going to try to find a way to sneak by. Verse 39, "But it's your custom for me to release one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" Verse 40, they shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now, Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. So trying to half-step his way to mercy, like Pilate gets thwarted, right? He's not really willing to risk for it. Verse 1 of chapter 19, "Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged." This is a super quick, little, tiny, tiny sentence. If you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, like that scene of Jesus getting flogged, like it doesn't feel like a sentence, right? I've got an image here that was painted. I had to find something in the public domain. So this one's an older image that was painted, but there's a lot of tough people in Western Independence that I don't have, you know, people have seen some nasty stuff, I'm sure. I don't think anybody in Western Independence has been like these Roman soldiers were when it came to just torturing somebody, you know? And that's what they're given permission to do when that says that, is like rip all the skin off of his back in like the worst way possible, right? So they're experts at it. They tie him up and do that. That's what that sentence is. So Pilate's thinking like, okay, they want blood, like I'll give them some blood, but I just won't kill the guy. That's what he's still hoping. Verse 2, the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed them in a purple robe. These guys are mocking Jesus. A lot of the men in the room, like if someone says anything you just think might be disrespectful, you get all huffy and puffy about it. Jesus gets mocked, right? Like a crown of thorns put on his head, this purple robe. He's different, right? His self-control. And they went up to him again and again saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they slapped him in the face. Verse 4, once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, crucify, crucify. But Pilate answered, you take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. Verse 7, then the Jewish leaders insisted, we have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. You see the juxtaposition here? Pilate's supposed to have all the power, but who's the one person in the story that's not afraid? Like, Jesus keeps taking all these shots, right? Pilate went back inside of the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. You see Jesus' trust in God the Father. And then this next line, a lot of us miss this truth here. It says, therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. Lots of people like to say, like, all sin's equal. If you ran that red light, it's the same as if you murdered 17 kids or whatever. But, like, that's just not true. And, like, what Judas did to Jesus is worse than what Pilate's doing to Jesus right here. Like, Judas premeditated, thought it through, had deceived about being a disciple, like, betrays him. Pilate is a coward when push comes to shove and it gets really tough. And he lets this guy get killed unjustly. It's different. Now, all sin, just a quick disclaimer there. Anything we do that's wrong, you steal a package of juicy fruit, like it separates you from God. So in that way, stuff's all equal in the sense of like, you're not gonna make it on your own, no matter how you sinned. So we're all equally stuck, desperate for help. But I don't, this lie that it's all the same sometimes gets people to just like, well, like, I drank a beer and I wasn't supposed to, so I might as well just blow up my whole life. You know, and it's like, that's not true. Like, it's like, there's stuff that's worse than other stuff, you know, like, and it's right there. Jesus says it, so I'll leave that be. That's not really our point today. Verse 13, when Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. Here's your king, Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. Now, next week, we're going to pick it up there. But we already see what Jesus is doing for us, don't we? Jesus is going through all this torture. Why is he doing that? When God looked at the mess of the world, all the pain and the disease and the death and people betraying each other and hurting each other, God's solution was to send Jesus, his only son, have him show us how we're supposed to live, how Julian and I and everybody else in the room, like how we're supposed to be living. And then he died as a sacrifice for our sins. And some of that, it's like, I don't under even stand all of like, how does this make everything right? What I do know is that when God looks at the suffering in your life and the suffering of this whole world, God's not above getting into the suffering with us. Jesus will do everything he could possibly do to give you the best chance to have a relationship with God the Father. Like, there's nothing that he won't do. He will get on a cross and be tortured to give you a chance. What God's after with us, it's not just everybody being comfortable. It's not just everybody being healthy this year or something like that. What God's after with us is that we would choose to be a part of his family. That we would have a perfect relationship with God, which means somehow we're going to have God make us perfect. And like, that's a whole big package of stuff I'm talking about. But our side of it is pretty simple. If we'll listen to Jesus and if we'll do the next thing Jesus tells us to do, Like, that's our part. Jesus will do the perfecting. Jesus will do the forgiving, right? But it works out to some rough stuff. I was talking to somebody yesterday who was really upset at somebody else. And I tried to tell him, like, Jesus tells you to pray for your enemies. It sounds like this person's an enemy. And they're like, well, I'm not going to do that, basically, is what they told me. Which, I'm just Jake. Like, you don't have to follow Jake's advice, right? But the hard part of it is like, I know you're going to have problems until you submit to what Jesus wants you to do. Because this other guy, like, knows Jesus. And Jesus said, pray for people that hurt you. Pray for people that are your enemies. And I was not saying pray all sorts of stuff. I was like, just pray the guy doesn't have bed bugs tonight. Like, just pray something simple. You know, like, just pray something super simple. The best thing you can. Like, that might be all. But, like, I wouldn't wish bed bugs on Hitler, right? So, like, we can just, like, let's just do that. Let's just start simple. But do something. All of us today, we got something we don't want to do that if we will listen for just a minute, Jesus will put a finger on it. And it's not going to be 17 things, but there's something. And when we look at what Jesus did for us, we got a different reason to say yes. The reason to say yes isn't because Jake made you feel bad. The reason to say yes isn't because you want to get something over on God or have him owe you a favor or something. The reason to say yes is like, I've never had anybody but Jesus treat me like that. Like, I've had nobody's ever said, like, I'll go to a cross for you. Nobody's ever seen all the griminess, all the bad stuff in me and said, like, you're still worth it, Jake. So we got our serve teams coming down to serve the Lord's Supper. And we might be a little short on help today. So if you want to come down and help, even a couple people could do that too. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Before we do the Lord's Supper, somebody's in this room today and you're like, I don't really have a relationship with Jesus. That whole listen and follow thing, like, I've never done that. And what we're about to do, it's open to anybody who says, Jesus, I want you to save me, and Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. But those are big things to say. There's some people out there that have a real hard time saying, I need help. I need forgiveness. You got to let go of all your excuses and say, like, I did something wrong, and I need God's help, and I need God to forgive me. If you're ready to do that, you're ready to say, like, I believe Jesus is the one who can forgive me. I believe he died and rose again. Then you're ready for that second part to say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord. I'm messing my life up. But I want to listen to you and I want to do what you say. And you don't have to be perfect. We all know ourselves. You can't trust, I don't trust myself. Like, but you can say, Jesus, I want to do it your way right now and I need your help to keep doing it. If you're in that spot and you've never said that before, you've never said, Jesus, I believe that you can save me. Please forgive me. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I want to lead you through a little prayer, and I want to connect you with the Maywood person who's going to take you on your first steps, right? But here's what I need from you. Pilate was not courageous, and Pilate missed out on Jesus that day. So I'm looking for some courage in the room today. If you want to get started with Jesus, I want you to stand up and say, like, I want to get started. I want to accept Jesus today for the first time. We're not going to stretch out a long time here, but now's the time to stand up if you want that. And it's Anna, is that right? Anna. Okay, so Anna and I just got to meet, and Anna was at a table with some wonderful ladies downstairs, right? So would one of those ladies that was downstairs, would they come and stand with Anna right now? Yeah, will you come and stand next to her? Or multiple of you would be great. So I'm going to guide you through this prayer. Actually, Justin, you want to guide them through the prayer? So basically, there's a bunch of people in this room that could guide through a prayer, okay? But I'm going to have Justin do it on a microphone, but Anna, I want you to repeat after Justin. And the reason I'm handing it off is, like, any of us can do this. Jesus is with us when we do this sort of thing.
Let's pray. Anna, you're going to repeat after me, okay? Jesus, I come to you today. I open my heart and my life to you. And I'm dedicating the rest of my life to you, Lord. I believe in you.
I'm dedicating the rest of my life to you, and I believe in you.
I believe that you died on the cross for my sins.
I believe you died on the cross for my sins.
And you rose again.
And you rose again.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you. So, ladies that stood up with Anna, if you guys would share some contact info, stay in daily communication this week, because it's a journey with Jesus, okay?
White as snow and no water found. the singing was just the voices. How about, can you do that?
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fountain I know, nothing but the blood.
I want to close us out with a blessing. If you guys will bow your heads, I'll pray over you. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will keep you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Amen.